You probably noticed that the gospel yesterday, parables of the treasure and of the pearl, and the gospel today, the parable of the net thrown into the sea, and then the conclusion of the discourse on the parables, this yesterday and today put together, that was Sunday's gospel. So people who are attentive to the daily liturgy see this repetition, this kind of reinforcement, which means that the Lord wants us to reflect again on the parables. And it's really important to do so because parables are very simple and it's easy to get them immediately. It's so obvious with finding a treasure and finding buried treasure or, you know, a net dragging stuff up out of the sea. I mean, it's so easy to imagine, to know what that's about. And yet there's a lot more to it than we can get in just one reading or just one reflection. So it's great to have this opportunity to reflect again on the parables. Now, this, as I said, is the conclusion of this section of Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 13, almost the whole chapter is the parables. There's a little bit added in Matthew 13. We'll get tomorrow. That's when Jesus goes to his hometown Nazareth, and they don't get it. So we'll see that tomorrow. But for today, parables. This description of the net thrown into the sea that collects all kinds of things is, well, in this parable, it's a description of what has to be sorted out at the end of time. That at the end of time, on the day of judgment, God has to sort out what is collected in it, because everyone gets collected in the net, and that's what the judgment day is. It's everybody will be called before the throne of God. The wicked will find that a terrible day. The righteous will find it a day of great rejoicing. In this sense, this parable parallels the parable of the weeds and the wheat in the field. Same basic message that at the end, at the harvest time, there's going to be this great separation of the righteous from the wicked. In that parable of the weeds and the wheat, there's emphasis on the necessity of waiting for that time, so that there's this necessity of putting up with the mixture of good and evil in the present time. That's not as strongly emphasized in this parable of the net. Usually in reflecting on this net, spiritual writers use it as a way of helping us understand the process of discernment. So we're not at the end of our lives yet, as far as we know, but every day we have to do this sorting out of what gets collected in the net, meaning what gets taken into our minds and hearts through our senses, through our experiences. We're constantly collecting things, and some of them are really valuable and some of them are really worthless, and we have to decide which is which. I sat down after breakfast, well, just right before the Mass, and I said, man, I've only been up a few hours, and already my net is just filled with all sorts of things. I got up I'll tell you exactly what happened. First thing I did this morning, because last night I had read the readings, and so I read about the cloud filling the temple, and I said, this is going to be Corning. I'm going to look out the window and see fog, because every morning there's a heavy fog in Corning, and this morning there wasn't any. So I looked out the window. I hadn't even gone to the bathroom yet. I looked out the window to see the fog, and as a representative of the presence of God, it was a sunny, bright sunny day. I said, wow, beautiful morning, but it kind of ruins my idea for the homily. Anyway, so that's first thing, and that's in the net. The weather, beautiful day. Then I got this message I mentioned earlier about the death of the brother of one of our members in the Philippines. It's only 67. And brings to my mind that family and also this experience of losing loved ones, which we know is part of our net. It's part of what we gather in the net. And then had some prayer time, reflecting on different things, different good fish to gather into the net. And then had a little breakfast and got caught up in my concern about my health and all my supplements and all And then I'm traveling today and I had to throw all my dirty laundry in the suitcase. And this is all in the net. Someone asked me about a member of my family And that, you know, that's another concern of mine, or what's going to happen. And then I'm just saying this is, and this is normal. I'm not saying anything wrong. This is normal. We have concerns about the weather. We have concerns about our health. We have concerns about our families. We have concerns about the community. It even came up. We had a little discussion about the future of Anuwimis, and all in the space of an hour and a half, 2 hours. Okay. And I'm sure you have the same. I bet if I made you sit down and tell me everything that entered into your net in the last 3 hours, you would be able to do the same thing, maybe more. Okay, so that's normal. But we have to evaluate the relative value of these things. Some things, like, for example, the death of someone, well, that's something, that's why I want to add that man into the mass today, because that's a big one. That's a serious matter. And we are responsible to pray for those who have died. Some things, like what I eat for breakfast or something, or, you know, that's important in the moment when you have to eat. But once that meal is over, you move on and you don't dwell on it, make it into an idol of some kind. Now, in Jesus here, after giving the parable, says, do you understand all these things? And they say, yes. which is kind of a funny answer, because and that's because parables are very simple. They say, yeah, I understand it. It's a net, you know, it's a treasure, it's a pearl, it's a, you know, seed in the ground. I get it. And then he says, every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven, and that's what every disciple is supposed to be, a scribe instructed in the kingdom of heaven, is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old. And this is also part of our discernment, a part of our process, part of reading the book of our life, is the appreciation of new and old. Now, just to use some stereotypes, the conservatives only like what is old, and the liberals only like what is new. And that's why when conservatives get extreme, they reject everything that's new. And when liberals get extreme, they reject everything that's old. And they think that, and that's why these two camps keep rising. Jesus doesn't say only bring out the old or only bring out the new. He says a wise steward, a wise disciple, someone instructed in the ways of the kingdom, knows how to bring forth the new and the old. So, meaning what is a value that was caught up in the net, whether it was been in the net since the beginning of the church, or the beginning of creation, or whether it just got into our net today, if it's good, then it's good. And if it's worthless, well, then it's worthless. So this is a valuable instruction in this process of discernment. Now, one of the very precious elements that gets put into our net if we're doing our job right is the Word of God. The Word itself is in the net. And that's why we pray. That's why we ponder the word, so that we don't just have worthless things entering our mind all the time. By the way, in the morning, I recommend not watching the news or reading about the news too early in the morning, because you can fill your net with worthless things. What, Trump, Biden, Trump, Biden, Trump, Biden. That's all you're going to get anyway. Or Ukraine, Russia, or whatever. And that will fill your mind. And then when you sit down to read the scriptures, there's no room. So that's my recommendation. Give priority to the word. Now, I'd like to just take a moment to give priority to this first reading, this beautiful passage about the erection of the dwelling, that is the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord. And this mysterious description of the cloud that fills the dwelling, and it rises and lowers itself on the dwelling. First of all, whenever we think of the dwelling of God, we shouldn't limit ourselves to the tent in the desert. We should remember the tabernacle. This is Eucharistic revival. We should remember that the tabernacle is the dwelling of God who became flesh and has offered himself to us in the Eucharist. That's a tabernacle right there. It's a dwelling place of God. But we should also remember that this is a description of ourselves, that God dwells in us. He wants to dwell in us, and he will dwell in us unless we kick him out. For him, it's a natural dwelling place. He created us to be his tabernacle. The idea of the cloud is worth pondering for a moment. I said I wanted to see the fog. Corning's always has this fog, except for today. But I was deliberate about looking for the fog because there's something mysterious about fog. You can see it. You can see that you're enveloped in it, but you can't see it. I mean, like, where is it? When you look for it near, it's not there. You can't touch it. You can't like sense it, but you can know that it's present. And the fathers of the church used this image as a description of the experience of being in the presence of God. Being in the presence of God is something like being in a cloud, which you can see, but you can't see, which you can sense, but you can't sense. It's real. It is certainly a something, but it's not something you can grab and put in your pocket and describe. You're enveloped in it, or sometimes the scriptures use the term overshadowed by it. To be overshadowed by the presence of God is something like a cloud. Here it says that when the cloud filled the dwelling, the Israelites would not travel. They would not go anywhere. Partly because they're enveloped in this presence that you don't leave, and partly because they can't see, like being in the fog. You know, the airport closes down in the fog. I mean, you can't see, so you don't travel. But when the cloud lifts, then they go forward. And again, this is what spiritual writers, and especially in the early church, they used as a description of how to know what to do. And because a lot of times in the spiritual life, we experience darkness. We don't know. And sometimes it's quite intense. It doesn't mean that God is absent. It means that we are enveloped. We're overshadowed by God, and we can't see. So we have to wait. Then he gives us light, which in the moment is, you know, an experience of freedom, and we can see. But that light comes from him, and it enables us to go forward. Even St. Ignatius of Loyola, the great saint of discernment, uses this to describe how to make decisions in periods of consolation and desolation. Maybe you're familiar with this terminology. When a person's in darkness, or what he calls desolation, you don't make decisions. At least, you know, no major decisions, no life-changing decisions, because you don't know what God wants. You don't have light. It doesn't mean that you're not in the presence of God. It means that God has enveloped you in a kind of cloud. But time comes when he gives light, and then you have to make a decision and move. That's what discernment's for making decisions. So this ancient image of the cloud filling the dwelling is not just a quaint story about the Israelites in the desert. It's also a revelation to us about our experience of God. We can't grab God and make him do what we want any more than we can grab a cloud and make it come and go. We experience it. But it's not as if we're helpless, because God himself, the cloud itself, is in charge of us. And it's very beautiful to submit ourselves to the rhythms of God and the times of fog and the times of sunshine, times of darkness, times of light, times of not knowing what to do because we don't know what God wants, and times when we know what God wants us to do, even if we don't want to, then it's time to move. So we are also on a journey like the Israelites, and God is present with us on all the stages of our journey, whether we see him or not. He's with us, guiding us. So that knowledge of the presence of God is part of what we gather in our net, and that we should not throw out. We should keep that, put it in a bucket, according to this, put what's good into buckets, keep it in the heart, ponder in the heart, so that we can gain the benefit of being guided by God.